The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 8th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
This story provides the turning point in Mark's Gospel. Peter is the first human being in the narrative to acknowledge Jesus as the Messiah, but he cannot accept that as the Messiah, Jesus will have to suffer. Moreover, Jesus issues a strong challenge to all by connecting discipleship and the cross. The Gospel lesson. Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist, and others Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." He asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Well, we have our children's message time, and we thank you girls for being here this morning, and for the boys and girls who are joining us on live stream today. So I have something to show you this morning. And it's a cross. Now, this particular cross is very meaningful for me because the wood that this cross was made from came from a large oak tree which started to grow in 1707 in front of the chapel at one of the congregations I served in Sweet Air, Maryland. And the tree was knocked down by a hurricane in 2012. And they saved the wood and made hundreds of these crosses from the wood and shared them with members of the congregation. So that's a very special cross in my life. This is a cross that was made of horseshoe nails and given to me also by a member of a congregation that I served. And you might note that I wear this cross during the Lenten season. And again, because it was made for me and given to me as a gift, it's a very special cross in my life made out of horseshoe nails. So every day we see crosses around us, don't we? People wear them as jewelry or as rings. People hang them on their wall as decoration. And when you pass a church, you might see a cross up on a steeple. One day, as Jesus and his disciples were walking along a road, Jesus asked them, "Who do people say that I am?" The disciples answered him, "Some say John the Baptist or one of the prophets." And he continued and asked them, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Messiah." Of course, Peter was right, wasn't he? But Jesus told him to keep quiet about it and not to share that information. He said, "It's going to be necessary for me to suffer and many things and to die, but on the third day I will rise again." Well, Peter didn't like to hear that. He took Jesus aside and told him to stop talking like that. But Jesus reprimanded Peter, and he said, look, you're looking at things from a human point of view, not from God's point of view. Then Jesus called the crowd who gathered together and asked him, or told them, I should say, if any of you want to be my disciples, you have to take up your cross, give up your selfish ways, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give your life for my sake, you will save it. So what does that mean for us? That's the key question today. Well, it means, boys and girls, that we have a Savior, Jesus Christ, who is willing to give up everything, even his life, so that you and I could have everlasting life. And it also means that those of us who want to follow him must also be willing to take up our crosses and give up everything and follow him. One way to think about that is to put other people first and their needs before our own. Think of the word joy. J means Jesus first. O means others next. And Y means yourself last. See, the cross is much more than a piece of jewelry or something that we hang on the wall. It is a reminder of our Savior's great love for us and our call to follow him. Let's join in a prayer. Dear God, thank you for loving us so much that you sent your Son to die on a cross. As his disciples, help us to take up our crosses and follow him, putting others first before ourselves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Marcia, 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 it's all about you. Who could tell me what TV show that's from? Who knows? The Brady Bunch, yeah. The Brady Bunch rant is a sentiment that surfaces frequently in relationship squabbles, doesn't it? Whether you're talking about between siblings or between sweethearts. It's all about you. But the phrase has recently acquired a more positive spin. For instance, McAfee Internet Security proclaims in its advertisements, it's all about you. And Broken Bow Lake Vacation Rentals in Broken Bow, Oklahoma also lets you know in its ad, it's all about you. And right here in Nashville, so does It's All About You luxury concierge service. They'll do anything for you from grocery runs to cleaning your house to decorating for your next party. And then, of course, there's Michael W. Smith's hit song, It's All About You, Jesus. So you see, this phrase, It's All About You, can build us up or tear us down. But the truth be told, there's another mantra even more popular these days. It's all about me. In fact, if you search that phrase on the web, you'll come up with thousands of websites making that very claim. Type in It's All About Me and you'll find them. Self-proclaiming, self-expressing citizens professing, it's all about me, whoever the me might happen to be. Jesus is well aware of the destructive nature of the all about me mentality. That's why he warns that his followers must be willing to deny themselves before they can be counted as true disciples. He understood that the only thing that stands between God and me is me. I'm in my own way. Every time I try to walk alone, I trip over myself. So, you see, this getting out of the way is what makes Peter's proclamation about Jesus so remarkable. For a moment, perhaps for the first time in his life, Peter gets out of his own way. For a moment, Peter stops thinking about himself. He stops putting me first. In that flash of insight, he understands, if only for that instant, see that it isn't about me. It never was, and it never will be. In effect, Peter proclaims, it's all about you, Jesus. It's about Peter's becoming smaller inside of himself and allowing Jesus to become bigger inside him. John the Baptist had the same insight when he said about Jesus in John chapter 3, he must increase, but I must decrease. Yet as we see in the life of Peter, here in this narrative and elsewhere, that it's all too easy to move back into an attitude of self-interest. At first, Peter says, you, Jesus, it's all about you. But the very next minute, he's thinking, me, it's all about me. Don't go to the cross, Jesus, or I lose my place in the new kingdom. Jesus' response is swift. Get behind me, Satan. For example, 24% of Americans identify themselves as among the have-nots of our country. And of these, 78% claim they did not have enough money for basic needs. Shouldn't it be about them? Every workplace has one or two refrigerator thieves. In fact, pre-pandemic, about 79% of employees steal from their employers to the tune of more than $120 billion a year, more money than is lost through shoplifting. Money issues are the most significant factor in 57% of divorces. And a recent Gallup poll indicates that only 13% of Americans have what can be called a deep, transforming faith. It's clearly not all about God. A 15-year-old Ohio girl sued her school district when she didn't make the cheerleading squad. Is that symptomatic? Are all these things symptomatic of the it's all about me culture? Very possibly. Atypical behavior? Perhaps. I'll let you decide that for yourself. But in any case, Christians are not immune to the me-ism virus that has infected our culture. Peter's affirming declaration of the deity of Christ suggests that it's time for us to move from me to thee. It's all about you, Jesus. Marcia, 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 it's all about you. Well, the fact is, my friends, it's not all about Marcia, and it's not all about us, as illustrated by the following. The nature of a trip that 35 Maine teenagers took pre-pandemic down to North Carolina reminded 16-year-old Kevin Burnham of a Bible passage from the second chapter of Ephesians. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. The teens, all high school students, and all from First Parish Church, traveled with seven chaperones to Cherokee, North Carolina, to spend 6 days helping repair 55 homes of people who couldn't afford or couldn't do the work themselves. In the process, the teens learned that doing good works not only helped the needy, it also strengthened a teen's faith and helped them feel better about themselves. Because it was populated mostly by Native Americans, Burnham didn't expect everyone to be Christian. However, the woman whose house he worked on was a Christian. Her father had been a pastor, but she still had her own doubts, he said, explaining that she had suffered through breast cancer and now had bone marrow cancer. I was able to strengthen her faith, and in doing so, I was able to strengthen my faith, he said. Burnham and his five co-workers put a new roof on her home, hammered in new shingles, installed new flashing, and painted both the inside and the outside of the home. In the process, he said, he learned about teamwork, compassion, joy, and forgiveness. You get joy by putting Jesus first, others next, and yourself last. Certainly an appropriate sentiment to keep in mind on this God's Work Our Hands Sunday, as we have sent disciples out from this congregation to share the love of Christ with some neighbors in Nashville, helping a deserving family to take steps towards a better life through home ownership. I want to end this sermon and perhaps drive the point home by inviting you to join me in a litany. And I'll ask you to respond with the words, "It's all about you, Jesus." When we are overwhelmed by burdens and responsibilities and feel we have nothing left to give, help us to remember, "It's all about you, Jesus." When we are tempted to give up, lay down the cross, and seek the comfort of self-indulgence, help us to remember, "It's all about you, Jesus." When we are discouraged and disillusioned, afflicted with doubts and despair, help us to remember, "It's all about you, Jesus." When we are tempted to take control, to manipulate others and bend them to our will, help us to remember, "It's all about you, Jesus." When we find ourselves becoming weary in well-doing, help us to remember, "It's all about you, Jesus." And when we think we lack the vision and strength to be your followers, help us to remember, "It's all about you, Jesus." In the name of Jesus, amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand as you are able, and we'll sing our hymn of the day.